This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're glad to have you today. At our all-new time, well, it's not new, but it's new, kind of new. A few months in, I'm Brett Larson, and we have a new time at 9 a.m. here on Saturdays. Also, listen to us on Sundays at 11 a.m., which you always could. But our new time is Saturdays at 9 a.m., and if you're picking us up for the first time, we're glad to have you along. As I said, my name is Brett Larson. Sitting alongside is my co-host and good friend, Ryan Cozy. We've been doing this for about a year now, and just excited about what God is doing through Christ Together Radio as we bring you what God is doing on mission throughout different pockets of areas and different ministries in Western New York. And Ryan, it's been great to get to know people and get to maybe highlight some of the things that people may not even realize it's happening in Western New York.
Yeah, I think that's been the big win for us is we by the grace of WDCX, we have a platform to put on display just a number of really neat things that are going on. And I love part of the stuff I love about this process is God uses everyday people to make a very tangible kingdom difference in our region. And that may happen with church partnership, church planting, but also in the mobilization of everyday people. So it's just been a lot of fun. Been very grateful for WDCX to give us this space to highlight God's movement in the region.
Yeah, I mean, it's been everything from church plants to people engaging the gospel in their workplace.
Yeah.
To even where we teacher's desk with John Micah coming in and just getting called as a retired GM worker to do things for Christ. And then a few weeks ago, we had Dave Monroe and Michael Hamilton in here. Guys, just everyday people in Western New York serving the Lord to reach people with the gospel. And that's what it's all about. And we want to highlight that.
It is. That's one of the things. If you're listening right now, whether at home or in the car, you know, just like Blackaby talks about, God is moving. And what we need to do is we need to find out where he's moving and we need to join him. We need to just show up where he's moving. And if everyday people could just understand that he loves using everyday people. Mm-hmm. He loves to use people that are desperate for him. And there, I think there's a lot of people in Western New York that may see themselves on the sideline when in actuality, God really wants to do great things with you. And the last couple of weeks have been good evidences of that. John being a retired auto worker. And your two friends from Grace on Eggert, one's a roofer, one's an EMT, and they're just looking for tangible ways to bring the gospel into their workplace, and it's just really cool to see.
You know, Ryan, we've mentioned many times that in our society, there's almost this pressure to be majorly significant in things we do and to be big time, and I think God works more so through a lot of people doing just small everyday things for him within their context of ministry. Not everybody's going to be Billy Graham,
right?
But everybody can reach a few people at their workplace, and that's how the world's going to get reached with the gospel.
Absolutely. Just we always talk about this, but helping everyday people focus on the tens, not the hundreds or the thousands. But if you have tens of people in your life that you can meaningfully minister to, and it may take years, but if you are faithful to regularly and repeatedly bring the presence of the gospel to those folks, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to become saved, but what it does guarantee is your faithful commitment to it. It'll assure that they will have had repeated opportunities to say yes or no to Jesus. And that's ultimately a responsibility that God has entrusted us with. And it's a great opportunity for us.
Yeah. And there's good things happening. We get reports across the country. I know Barna's done a lot of research on churches and just the kind of the dire straits that the church at large is in right now, with churches closing every day. But there's some good things happening too, and God's always going to have his church. And things like the church planting initiative that I know you're heavily involved in, Ryan, in Western New York. And just, I mean, even this year we're going to see some things happening there. Is there anything you can share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, great band reference in Dire Straits, classic band. Sultans of Swing is a great tune. But yeah, I mean, we just recently have announced that the Church Planting Initiative, which is a division of the Church of Western New York, a group of pastors. Not everybody's necessarily passionate about planting churches, and that's fine. But a number of churches within that group of churches is. And yeah, we actually have just formally reached out to five finalists to say that we are going to enter into a strategic partnership with them. And that partnership is not just financial, but it's social, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and it's strategic support as well. And so, yeah, we have Buffalo Anglican Church with Brian Wandell. That'll be in the city of Buffalo, targeting just inner city Buffalo and perhaps those who are lapsed in their faith, but wanting more of a sacramental kind of church. Second is Jonathan Hasley from Barefoot Christian Community in town of Niagara. Rick Rouse from Medina Free Methodist. Who else do we have here? We have Steve Johnson from Anchor Church. And then lastly, we have Christ Central Buffalo, which is Chris Jew, Presbyterian Church. So, yeah, those are five partnerships we're going to enter into a relationship with. And we're really excited about that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having some of them on with us
absolutely.
In the future here. But today we have a good friend of ours who's a church planter as well from Lumber City Church. And Chad, great to have you here today. And Pastor Chad's going to just talk to us today, just share his heart.
Yeah.
Just about what God has done in his life personally. I'm looking forward to hearing it, Ryan. And I know that you know the story, so you can help fill in some of the blanks that Chad forgets. But no.
Well, and he's a CPI subcommittee member, so yes. He's helped us in vetting the churches that we've selected this year. So it'll be fun to talk with him today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chad. We're looking forward to talking to you. We'll be back in just a minute on Christ Together Radio. As always, if you want to learn more or catch up on past programs and episodes, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and go to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. Chad from Lumber City Church joining us today, and we're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Brett Larson can leap tall buildings, stop trains with his bulging biceps. Just who wrote this script? This did come from the general manager's desk, did it not? Yeah. Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I got nothing else.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host every week at 9 a.m. here on Saturdays and also at 11 a.m. on Sundays. So if you're listening to either one of those times, you can catch us at the other time and also catch us online at WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio. Learn more about Ryan and learn more about our past episodes and just what God is doing in throughout Western New York. It's very interesting to listen to, not necessarily because of us, but because there's just so much happening in Western New York that perhaps if you just go to a church every Sunday and you kind of have that context of that church, it's good for you to know what God is doing elsewhere. And because he is moving and certainly hasn't arrived, and it's not everything it needs to be or we would love it to be, I think, as the Church of Western New York, but great things are happening, and we're excited about it.
Absolutely, and it's fun today to be talking with a good friend, Chad Rieselman, who is pastor of Lumber City Church in North Tonawanda. And, you know, one of the things that I love about when God brings planters to the region, sometimes he raises up native sons and daughters, but sometimes he brings people from outside the region. And so Chad is has been raised up from outside the region, but he has a real similar DNA to just everyday people here in Western New York. So, Chad, would you be willing to share just a little bit about your background and how God brought you here to Western New York, specifically to North Tonawanda?
Sure. Yeah, I I could go all the way back to being born just outside of New York City. My parents moved us from there to the last house, the last piece of property on the end of a seasonal road. So I've got a lot of different perspective to cityscape and countryscape. Mm-hmm. And then my parents went in separate directions, which in amazing ways God redeemed, because the amount of different parent perspectives that were brought in my stepmom, my stepdad, and chose to live with my mom in the Poconos and grow up there, grew up just outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania, coal town there. Normal high school upbringing. I kind of was on the different track teams, football, wrestling, all those kinds of stuff. At the same time, growing up in a trailer in a trailer park. So had, you know, all these different diverse things that were going on in my life. Really had no direction. And so when I graduated high school, my dad's suggestion to me was, why don't you move up to Binghamton, New York, where he was, and he would help me to get into the sheet metal union temporarily until I figured out what I was doing. 18 years later.
You figured out what you should be doing.
Yeah, that's how it came down. You know, I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. My time in the trades with, you know, genuine, you know, the things that happen in the trades. I was a shop guy, you know, just the interaction with everyday people there really gave me a great perspective and a sense for, you know, sort of the things where we're doing today. I don't look at things from any other way other than I know sort of the life that, you know, the folks we're trying to reach are living, the, you know, if you will, the rat race and those sorts of things. But, you know, there was always a sense that there was something missing, you know, that that thing that everyone has as a part of their testimony. For me, it was a gigantic gap in identity, if you will. I tried to find that identity in the things that I was doing. And so started a rock band. You know, I was people ask me what instrument I play, and I told them I played the room, baby. That's what I played. I played the room I was in. I played the guy in the back that wasn't listening. He was the guy I was trying to reach. We had some, you know, levels of success. One of the cool things I realized one day as I was playing for a crowd that if I threw a rock, I couldn't hit the back, you know. So played some big stages, opened up for Eddie Money one time. Eddie Money, that was fun.
Does Eddie still have any money? I
don't know. he showed up in an AMC Pacer for that gig, but
oh my god.
I was building my identity around this thing, and you know, having some success, and you know, we were playing to no less than 200 people every time we showed up, and you know, that had a great social network there, a great bunch of friends, and some things were not going right, and so one day I just kind of canceled all our gigs and parked the rig down the street at the drummer's house. Said, "You guys take everything," and I was done at that point. And it was a series of events over a few weeks. Now, again, growing up or being born outside of New York City, I was able to walk to the end of the block and look across the Hudson and see all of Manhattan. With the bookend, you know, towers there at the south tip of Manhattan. Always, you know, Channel 11 growing up, that's what their logo was, you know, knowing that my, you know, that was always an iconic thing. The band breaks up. Things aren't going well. I'm trying to figure out who I really am at this point. And then these planes fly into the buildings. And I realize, you know, some of my friends were in those buildings. One of my friends from the rock world just became a New York City fireman. And he was running into those buildings. Everything caves in. Now there's no identity. Anything that I had, you know, there was no planes in the sky. I couldn't even go anywhere to get away from any of this, you know, to jump on a plane and go to the Caribbean and, you know, find some peace and some solace. But it was Thursday, September 13th, that I came home from work. I kind of thought my wife was having a nervous breakdown because all these things were coming apart. She just talked to her mother, and mother was telling her, this is the second coming. This is it. And so Christina, I went back to work that afternoon trying to figure out what I was going to do, and this blackness is just sort of consuming me. I came home from work, and there's my wife sort of dancing around. I thought she'd been drinking, which I thought I might start doing more of, too, if that's how happy it makes you. But she hadn't. There wasn't a drop of alcohol in the house, and she suggested that we jump in the car and go get some burritos. To brighten my day. Yeah, it seems that burritos are always going to brighten my day. Yeah. Buy
not
a pair.
Small, this man here.
And so it was we're cresting over the hill, and I could see Chi-Chi's on the horizon, and I said, "We're going to church." And her face lit up. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "We're going to church." She goes, "I'm now that the band's done, I'm really glad we could go back to church." And, you know, it was a church I swore I'd never go back into that I was compelled to tell my wife, "Buckle up, we're going there." And it was Thursday night, about 6 o'clock. I pulled into the parking lot, walked into a choir practice, said a prayer, and thank God it was a Pentecostal church, because I was radically transformed in a moment. There were some miraculous things that happened to me that day. So the rock and roll star joins the choir. That night, I was immediately thrust into ministry, if you will, singing off of sheet music. I didn't know what I was. I didn't even, where's my part? I'm just going to find my spot. And so that's where my journey with Christ began. And again, not in the most orthodox of ways that it had happened. My story about the way the Holy Spirit called me to that shakes some people's soteriology to the core, if you will. But I know that God was genuinely setting me up for where we're at today. And that has been, there's been just a ride all along. There was a real sense very early on that I was cut from a different cloth than many. But there was definitely a call upon my life. And so some great mentors in my life, led me to this idea that you got to get out of here, or you're going to break everything. Mm-hmm. you're going to just break everything. You got to go and do something, some kind of new work. And they led me to church planting. And I took a little quick survey that said, run to your pastor and tell him you need to go plant a church tomorrow. Kind of, I scored in that area. So that's where my journey began in ministry.
Wow. How long did you participate in that church and stay in the area, go to that church? You said you went right into the choir, Chad. So was it kind of thing where you were mentored there and you kind of started to grow in your faith there?
Yeah, absolutely. I was around some fantastic leaders there at that church. It was one of the anchor churches in the New York District of Assembly of God Churches in Binghamton, New York. Mm-hmm. And big church, lots of ministry there. About 3 months into my salvation, was invited to become a part of the student leadership team there and got into youth ministry right away. And it wasn't even a year into my salvation that they were asking me to lead worship at the church, in which the joke was that I'd stopped wearing my earrings when I got saved that night. And that night before, I was joking with my wife that I was going to wear my earrings into the pulpit that next morning. Yeah. She's like, don't do it. You're going to
ruin everything.
And so I put them in. I'm like, oh, I'm going to sleep. And I woke up the next morning, totally forgot about them. Led worship through the whole first service, and in the third song and second service, I'm praying with, these guys that have been doing church ministry for decades, centuries, if you will. And I realized I had my earring. I still had my earrings, and I'm like, you fool, you just blew it. And I really sensed the Holy Spirit at that time saying, no, this is what I want you to follow, where I'm leading you, not where tradition has always led. And I kind of shared that with some of the guys that were mentoring me, and they definitely
heresy. No,
I'll never wear them.
They're fine for you.
they definitely were very supportive of the different things that I was doing, and very careful to make sure that I wasn't going to, step on the toes as too much. But and that led us to a place where we've eventually were invited to join the staff of that church as a non-pastoral ministry leader, janitor, mechanic,
Jack
worship leader. the many hats guy. And that amount of ministry experience led us to a place where it was obvious that maybe it would be good to do another campus with Christina and I in another part of Binghamton Southern Tier. That's where the whole idea of getting assessed and coming up with a development plan and all those things started to brew in our hearts toward church planting. So, the time there, leading worship, doing different youth ministry and starting in, even construction projects, revamping the way the three buildings work together, all those sorts of things were really essential in building blocks to where we are today.
We're going to be back in just a few minutes. We're going to hear more from Chad about his personal story, how he ended up in North Tonawanda planting Lumber City Church, and just kind of what happened there, and also his involvement with the Church Planting Initiative in Western New York and what that's meant for you also to help others who are going through your what your journey was. You know, everybody's got a different story, but a lot of times those who have walked that journey can help others as they begin to feel God's call in that way in their lives. So I hope you're enjoying Chad Rieselman's story. Chad, now in Binghamton, that's where we are in the story, sure. Going to a church and helping out there. And Ryan, it's just cool to see as God works in people and, and brings them to this region to impact this region for Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about this, like these stories, I've heard this before, and it doesn't get old to me.
Yeah.
Just love how God brings people into our context to serve him and to bring him glory.
Yeah, rock star turned pastor, Chad Rieselman. No, what's that?
A sheet metal worker.
A sheet metal worker.
Yeah.
We'll call him a sheet metal worker.
Yeah, rock star was just on the weekends.
Weekend warrior rock star. Now, by the way, the whole time you're in this church, you're still working in the sheet metal industry.
Yes, until I got to that point where it made sense to leave all of that behind and take that position.
And that's a lot to leave behind as a union guy.
We left a lot behind, yes.
Yeah.
A four-bedroom house on 4 acres of land that we developed and built for, custom built for our family. From there to a 1920s fixer-upper duplex on the west side of Binghamton in the worst school ever, which turned out to be the best school ever for us. So
more of that to come here in just a few minutes on Christ Together Radio. Stay with us.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we talk about what God is doing throughout the Church of Western New York, and it's kind of a show to highlight different things in the three buckets, the three areas of gospel saturation that the Christ Together Network of Western New York believes need to happen in order for every man, woman, and child to hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ on repeated opportunities.
Yeah.
I kind of mixed it around. I yoded that one,
that was
but
great.
That's okay.
That's fine. It's
but
your show.
It's your show.
I'm just your co-host.
I'm a co-host too. We're co-hosts.
We're co-hosts.
Yeah, that's right. Co-manager? Is that like a assistant to the manager or whatever?
Assistant to the regional manager.
That's right. Dwight Schrute from Office. Office references here on Christ Together Radio. Joining us today in studio, Chad Rieselman of Lumber City Church. We're hearing his story, his personal story of just how God worked in his life. Really interesting story. And Ryan, we were saying that sometimes it's the storyteller too that makes the story interesting, and Chad's certainly great at that.
Yeah, and it's fun. Like I said before the break, I've heard this story before, and I have a very small part in this story, of which is when he ultimately gets from Binghamton to Buffalo, I have a chance to meet Chad, not really knowing who he is or what God's going to use him for. But, you know, basically there's kind of a role that I play in the region. A lot of times if a planter comes into the region, I usually interact with them and try to give them like some demographic help and just some background, like where are you planting? Who do you need to know? So I try to do that as much as I can. But let's move back into Chad's story. He's still in Binghamton at this point. He's left the sheet metal trade, a union position that had a lot of good benefits, apparently more so than the benefits that he was receiving at the local church as an employee. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. So Chad, ultimately, you know, God's at work in your life. He's using you to do great things in Binghamton. But how do you get to Buffalo from there?
The idea of bringing Christina and I onto staff there was to try to build into a new leadership DNA there that would allow for more organic, rather than just bringing people in from any outside areas to come in and do things. That was a part of the hope and the plan there was to sort of allow me to grow through the ranks there to get to a point where I'd help the leadership there, the pastor, Brandon Samuel, to get to know the congregation, to tighten the weave of the congregation a little bit, then create some, you know, nesting, create some relationships with some folks, build a team, and then and start another small work, which would be another campus of the church. And through, you know, the different things that went on in the 3 or 4 years that I was there in that position, part-time or full-time, we just kind of concluded that the church wasn't ready for that. So I was still ready to plant a church. I went to our network leadership in Syracuse and had a conversation with them, and they said, well, do you have a heart for an area? And I said, I absolutely do. And so they said, go ahead and, you know, start, you know, testing the waters there and see what's going on, and created a development plan, was assessed. All these things were falling right into place that I finally went in to the lead pastor there and said, now I'm going to go and do this, even though, you know, this wasn't going to, this isn't the way we were hoping it would go. And he said, you should go and do that. You know, it was a really kind of a sort of a heartbreaking meeting at a point, because we kind of realized that what we had hoped for wasn't going to pan out. And we did that at a coffee shop. By the time we both got back to the church, he called me into his office again, and he said, I changed my mind. You can't do that. And he said, I love you way too much. It's too many people are going to go with you. You're going to be seen as a church splitter. Let's kind of drop back and punt and see where this thing lands, and see what we can do this right. And my heart was broke. And so he kind of led to saying, you know, I want to talk to our, I want to try to get the leadership here around the idea of church planting is a good thing, you know, and then work from there. And that process moved very quickly. He had a board meeting the next week and came and he said, hey, I got the board to say yes to funding church planting, and kind of centered it around you. And I said, great. this conversation with Jim Armpriester at Niagara Falls First starts to bud at the time, and these two things are falling into place at the same time. And I feel like I'm kind of getting pushed out the door in Binghamton into the unknown of Western New York, Buffalo. Come to find out, upstate is upstate, which is wonderful.
Yes, that's very true.
And so we...
except for Albany. Yeah,
Albany's except for
weird. It's a whole lot of weird. You don't like them.
Very gray.
Yeah.
Depends on which neighborhood you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are just in the wrong neighborhood. all these things begin to get concluded, and I feel like I literally felt like one of my best friends is pushing me out the door. He said, I think you should try this thing in Niagara Falls. I'm getting you some funding. I'm like, so here's your hat. What's your rush? Was kind of the feeling. And talked to Christina about it. She's like, no, I don't want to stay if they don't want us. You know, just different things going on in our hearts. We love, and there's some surprises along the way.
Sure.
And the last surprise came on the next Sunday when I walked into church, and not even a guy that was on the board anymore, a former board member, walks up to me and says, so are you moving to Richmond too? I'm like, Richmond? Where did Richmond come from? So I marched into Brandon's office, pounded on the door, and I said, what's going on? He said, hey, come in, close the door. I want to tell you something.
That I've told everyone.
That I've told everyone but you.
I'm going to Richmond.
Oh.
He says, you got to get out of here. And so everything fell into place. And, of course, things worked out with Jim Armpriester, Niagara Falls. A great story about coming out we had Fridays off in Binghamton. So Christina and I came out on a Friday to try to find a place to live, see where we were going to live. Because we want to live incarnate. We want to be in the city where we don't want to like travel in and encounter it. We want to live it out. And so we wanted to see which part of the city would be best for us and fit our budget, all these other things. That didn't work out on Friday. And so Friday night, we're like, we have no idea. We almost signed a lease, which was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then things fell into place where we didn't have to go back to Binghamton because my niece's birthday party was canceled because my brother canceled her birthday party because she was being a brat. I mean, that's a miracle. that's a godly miracle.
She's not
miracle.
A brat anymore.
Do we blame the canceled birthday party and the
great
sovereignty of God?
And so, but it gave us an opportunity to stick around an extra day, and some things fell into place. Go look at this house. So long story short, we pull up to the house Saturday morning. I get out of the car, and this little dog runs over and jumps up on my leg, and the woman who's showing us the house says, Titus, come here. I said, Titus? I said, She goes, yes, in Paul's second letter to Timothy. Really? She goes, yeah, so we thought that would be a great name for our dog. I'm like, you guys are believers? And I said, yeah, we're... she said, yeah. And she pointed in the backyard, and Carlton Cooper, her husband, was in the backyard. She says, my husband, Carlton, was the son of the first English-speaking pastor of the Pentecostal church in North Tonawanda that eventually became Abundant Life, which is the building that you're going to be planting in. And I said, well, I guess we're home then. And that's where we live to this day.
So the rent's free? Or?
And so we had, you know, things moved rather quickly. We got here and realized that that we had a clean slate. We had a great partnership with a great church, Niagara Falls First Assembly. Let me tell you, of church planting churches in Western New York, Niagara Falls First Assembly does not get enough credit. They've helped to plant Lumber City Church, Nickel City Church, Steel City Church, started the Bridge Church Planting Network, and all of this with a transition between two different pastors. Yeah. It's the people there that believe in this. So we got partnered with an amazing church, amazing sending church, and Jim Armpriester, which you know, one of the smartest guys you could ever run into. So
just somebody who's been in Western New York for all my life. It's always been known as just a wonderful church with wonderful people.
To this day, it still feels like home to us. Mm-hmm. So even for the short time we were there. Jim and I start to create strategies of being one church in two locations, North Tonawanda, Niagara Falls, allowing for a little bit of latitude with DNA because of there's a different culture in North Tonawanda. I don't know if you guys know that, North Tonawanda is really like its own little place in many ways. Nobody, you don't just like kind of pass through North Tonawanda on your way to anywhere.
So not far away.
Yeah. So, but you still drive around it on your way, like and wave.
No, I go through. You wave. I'm not going down Oliver.
Are you kidding me?
That's the only reason why we go in.
We've got great candy, but it's out on the Niagara Falls Boulevard now. So all those things falling into place, creating different means of getting together. And one of the things I will say is one of the major parts of our story that's kind of coming true today, if you will, was the time you and I met. I don't remember where we met, but I do remember there was so much.
It was the Olympia restaurant on Niagara Falls.
That's where it was, right?
It's my kid's favorite place to go.
Yeah,
because of the French toast.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
It's thick. Oh, I know.
So there's a pile of paper about 3 inches thick on the table. And I'm like, I'm going to try my hardest to track with you because I'm not. That's just a lot of information. I like to know everything. And Ryan kind of flips to page 38 in book 4, subsection C, graph 18, and he points to this.
He's got it memorized, by the way.
And it's like, you see this number, 0.004172? I'm like, And he starts to talk about how what it really means, and it boils it down to this. I think you may remember this. He says, the best I can guess, you have about 200 single mom-led households in North Tonawanda. He said, if you find them, you've hit the vein of gold in that city. And so I don't know how he gets that out of the data that's there, but I totally trust it because there's so much there. Yeah. That's really a big part of the story where we're at today. Not just in how that's coming true, but also in how when we got here, we weren't just received by Western New York. We were received by, resourced by, loved by. When we got here, it was just a few weeks after we moved here that my wife, Christina, ended up in Children's Hospital. Our son, Sam, was born at 26 and a half weeks, 2.5 pounds. I mean, we were there for 97 days. It's one of the first things that happened to us here. Never missed a meal. People were giving us, didn't even know us, didn't know our story. The outpouring of love, we knew we were in the right place at the right time to do what
is the city of good neighbors.
It really is.
Yeah. And that's why I love the city. And it's weird, as you're sitting here talking, my office where we're meeting today looks out up to the city. And just as you are talking and just looking out, it's just it really does. The love for this city, I think, is what kind of fuels what we're talking about today. With so many stories end up where yours is. They have a different beginning, but the end is so similar.
Yeah, I feel, you know, so I was born in Burlington County, New Jersey, grew up in the Poconos outside of Scranton, lived in Binghamton, New York for 18 years. So I get here, I'm 40 years old, 39 years old, and home for the first time in my life. Yeah. When I turn the wheels, when I see Buffalo on a sign when I'm driving home from Florida,
feels like home.
Then I'm like, home. First time in my life I've ever really felt like I'm home.
It's interesting, too. At one point we were having a conversation, and Chad had said, you know, it's just a matter of time before he and his wife buy their headstones for Buffalo. Like, they're going to be buried here. That this is where they're, this is where God has called them to. And, you know, you just, that goes a long way in Western New York, you know, because this is, in many ways, this is a city that is a punchline for a lot of jokes.
Right.
I say that being someone from another city, which has a lot of punchlines for jokes. I'm from Cleveland.
You can say that.
You know, it's just always, it's just such a blessing when God brings an outsider and they feel like this is their home. And so it's just kind of cool.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's Ryan Cozy, our co-host today. I'm Brett Larson, and we're talking with Chad Rieselman of Lumber City Church, hearing his story about how God brought him to Western New York and to the North Tonawanda area. We're going to finish just in this next segment. We're going to finish up with Chad's story, and we want you to stay tuned next week as well, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays, as we talk to Chad more about Lumber City Church and just what God is doing there. But stay tuned. Don't go away. We still have some time left, and we're going to hear the finishing part of what brought Chad to Western New York.
Some say Ryan Cozy has a face for radio. Others say he's the lead candidate for Mr. January in the Christ Together Network Pastor's Calendar. I'm so confused.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting in with Ryan Cozy as we co-host every week on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays. Also, you can find us online at WDCXradio.com. Click on programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio. You can check out old episodes, find out more about myself and Ryan, and just about what God is doing through the Christ Together Network in Western New York and also nationally, but particularly here in Western New York, as Ryan heads that up and does so much for Western New York. And it's interesting, as Chad was just speaking about all the research that Ryan has done for the church community in Western New York, and just how important that is to really targeting really hotspots or the most valuable places to put our energy to reach people with the gospel and get in great effect. And Ryan, that's got to be rewarding in and of itself.
Yeah, it is. I mean, one of the things that I try to help people with is I don't look at data as the gospel. The gospel is the gospel, okay? The gospel is the most important thing that anybody can come into contact with, period. And so, however, within that, I feel that there are times when the church, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, but there's some times where the church really has its head in the sand. Mm-hmm. And so what I try to do is I try to take Census Bureau data and demographics and just try to help the church be better positioned to tangibly reach into the lost places of our region. Mm-hmm. You know, the fifth most biblically illiterate city in the country. Mm-hmm. Which it's a, I'm not proud to say that, but it's our context. And so, you know, that brings up an interesting point in Chad's conversation, which is when we were meeting at the Olympia restaurant in North Tonawanda on Niagara Falls Boulevard. By the way, my car gets fixed at Brownie's Automotive on Oliver Street. Howard, go see Howard and the boys
we're
over at Brownie's.
We have breakfast available now from Olympia, sponsored by Olympia
exactly.
or something.
And get your oil changed at Brownie's. But
French toast.
What was really interesting was, to be honest, when I left that meeting, like I leave a lot of meetings, and that was, seems like a really good guy. I love the fact that he's blue collar because that's my roots. But God, I don't know if this is going to work out or not. We'll see. And it's not anything skeptical of the individual. It's literally, I don't know, God, what are you going to do? You know, you really hold that information with an open hand. And what's kind of cool is God has helped Chad. And he has helped the people of Lumber City to find those pockets of need. And it's been a really cool story of how you were positioned once at one location, and now God's got you at a new one. So I feel like that's a great place to pick up in the story.
Sure. Yeah. the beginning of the journey for us was, again, excuse me, in partnership with Niagara Falls First Assembly, Pastor Jim Armpriester. The realities of our journey was 2 weeks before we launched, he mentioned to me that he would be leaving that he had resigned his position at Niagara Falls First Assembly, and they had his going away party on our launch Sunday. And
a little
so,
anticlimactic.
Yeah, a little awkward.
We started out with a vision for one church in two locations that was sort of, okay, we really didn't know where to go other than to say we just told everybody every week we're going to change the world. And we did a, you know, a whole lot of stuff to try to, you know, mobilize people in a way that, you know, we could redeem it when we finally did have a vision whether or not the next guy was even going to keep us. So we were given a property on East Robinson Street to steward. It sits on 4 acres, beautiful church sanctuary parking lot. We did a lot of renovations there, kind of removed some pews and, you know, tried to make it a little bit more, you know, update things, make it smell a little better. It had been sort of in some disarray for a decade or so. So that gave us a very wide latitude for creating a DNA that, you know, was built upon we're here to reach every man, woman, and child in North Tonawanda. And our mission statement was we're here to make the name of Jesus famous in North Tonawanda and by becoming a community of a family of followers who love God and love all. I mean, it's very wide, but it's kind of turned into who we are and what we're doing. You know, after some time there, new pastor came into Niagara Falls First, recognizing some of the unique things that we were doing were very highly contextual to North Tonawanda, and that to continue as one church in two locations wouldn't make much sense, and that we were becoming more like two churches with one bank account, and that can get messy, as you may well imagine. So we, Niagara Falls First, again, one of the best congregations in Western New York, in my opinion, said, here you go, here's the keys. We became a standalone, independent, sovereign church, General Council, Assemblies of God Church, and then came back to the table with Niagara Falls First to say, how can we continue to do that? Because that worked really well. Created the Bridge Church Planting Network and started planting other churches in that same way. Like, you find people that want to die for a certain part of our city, resource them to do that, and when they're up and running, give them the keys. And so that's what they did for us. A few years in, always in the back of my mind were the single moms, the 200 families, the poverty of our city. Poverty in North Tonawanda, it hides itself really, really well. You go to school, you drop your kids off at school, all the kids look the same. You can't really gauge that out there. So it was sort of a test, try everything to see what's going to work to give us some of that influence with you know, what we consider to be God's favorite people in North Tonawanda. Mm-hmm. And that turned into, you know, doing some single mom outreaches that went nowhere, and doing some different programs that went nowhere. And we realized after a while that it would be better for our church to never do any programs, events, or ministries.
And it's a great place to be. Yeah.
That's where we are to this day. And honestly, yeah, that has been crucial to becoming the church that we are now. No, we just say no to programs, events, and ministries. We say yes to discipling each other and running toward the poor. Preach the gospel, run toward the poor. That's all we do. Those are our two programs. Preach the gospel, run toward the poor. And so we've got a lot of, you know, partnership in our city and, actually partnered with the Dream Center in Buffalo, their Boxes of Love. We were an outpost for Boxes of Love in North Tonawanda. Boxes of Love was come and register and then come back and get your stuff a few days before Christmas. And they provided all the stuff the first year. Second year, I thought we could kind of step up to the plate, maybe provide the turkeys. Third year, we could step up to the plate, provide the turkeys and the gifts. And we were kind of maybe 39, 40 families on a few years. Got some other churches in partnership with us. Thought if we had more registration locations, we'd get more people. Actually didn't work out that way. We actually had less people, but we had a high level of partnership with two other churches. So the next year was coming up, and I just said, guys, why don't we figure out a way to why don't we try to send out 200 invitations in our city and they're like 200. We did 40 last year. Are you ever gonna, you know? So ended up just being led by the Spirit to go and knock on the door at the middle school. I figured the middle is in the middle, mm-hmm. So they're gonna have the motility toward the elementary and high school at the same time. Just knocked on the door and walked in, and I said, I'd like to see if you guys could help us get these invitations into the kids that you know aren't going to have a good Christmas this year's backpacks. And the woman standing behind the counter said, I know exactly who to send these to. How many do you have? I said, 200. She goes, that'll be enough for now. She was going to retire that year. So she said, I could do whatever I want. They're not going to. And so she pulled up a database and printed out labels and sent those registrations out. We had that registration able. So those folks didn't have to come or go anywhere to register. That was a big deal for us because they used to have to come out to the church, come out to our church, register, come out. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to come or go anywhere to register. Also, they didn't have to come or go anywhere to be served because we took stole a page from Niagara Gospel Rescue Mission's Feed the Falls, said if we can do all these meal deliveries, we could do deliveries of food and gifts. Year one, that turned into 93 respondents that didn't have to come or go anywhere, and three churches that came together with groceries, a gift card, and a gift for each child in that household, gender-specific, up to 18 years old. After that happened, the school calls me and says, you got to come in here and talk to us. We're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We sat down at a big table with social workers, guidance counselors, and they said, that was amazing. What else can you do? And I said, what do you mean? And the one down at the end of the table, this guy says, well, this girl and her family have to move out of an abusive situation. They have nowhere to go. They're just set up in an apartment. They have nothing. And they pushed the number across the table. And I said, what does she need? She needs furniture. She needs food. I said, well, we'll take care of that. We're going to take care of that. And meanwhile, I'm like saying yes for two other churches that I don't have any idea. I'm just speaking for everybody here.
Well, and this is the thing. Like, I feel like this is how God uses people like Chad in our region, that there are moments where you step out in faith and you trust that God's hand is going to provide. And I feel like Chad's been a great example of that in this story, but in others as well. But keep going.
Yeah. So that turned into something that we wanted to organize without becoming an organization, an organism called Box of Hope. And we kind of formalized a few of the things about it. We have three outreaches now. We do school supplies, Christmas, and food for finals, our three major outreaches. And so we came back to the table this year with the in September, or last week of August, we did 53 households, and that was a big ticket for our churches to come up with 53, not just 53 kids, 53 households, almost 300 kids worth of 150 kids worth of school supplies. You've gone and bought school supplies for your kids. It'll break you, right? Yeah. So 53, again, those folks didn't have to come or go anywhere to be served, register, anything. We're going to their doorsteps. We're opening the door and saying, here's some stuff you need. And so that turns into a Christmas outreach this year that just went through the roof. The food was provided by all the students in all the schools, the gift cards by the faculty, and all the gifts, not just gender-specific, but actual specific gifts for each kid in every household, 174. That's almost 200.
Yeah, that's
174. Crazy. $22,000 worth of stuff, together with our city, our school, the churches together, delivered just a few days before Christmas. Yeah.
And this is kind of cool. I know we got a couple of minutes left, but this leads to kind of the next story, which we'll pick up in the next segment next week. If you'll come back and join us, we're going to continue the story of Lumber City's journey. But you know what I hear in this is what I want to put on display in the region, which is that preaching the gospel and running to the poor is a really good thing to do. Radically trusting God with the outcome that you desire to see, which is His glory, is a really good place to be in. And when we operate out of that sort of desperation, like Chad and the leadership and the people of Lumber City do, God begins to raise them up and put them in position of influence in a city like North Tonawanda, and that's huge. That is a massive, massive thing.
It is. That's the voice of Ryan Cozy, co-host on Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. This week you heard from Chad Rieselman, pastor of Lumber City Church, and his personal story of how God brought him close to New York City area, downstate to Binghamton to up and west, almost
New Jersey, bada bing.
Yeah, bada bing, bada boom. And he looks like he could probably enforce some things here. Kind of nervous sitting here. No, great guy, great heart for God, and finally came home to Buffalo. And you've heard his personal story. And so stick around. Listen next week. Join us 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays, as we hear what God is doing now through Lumber City Church. You heard a little taste of it. We're going to get deeper into that, and also Chad's involvement now in helping others do the same thing in planting churches and just following God on mission to reach every man, woman, and child with the gospel of Jesus Christ in our region. And so this is Christ Together Radio. Stay tuned. Join us online, WGCXradio.com. Click on programs. Go to Christ Together Radio. You can check out all our past episodes right there. For Ryan Cozy, I'm Brett Larson. We'll see you next week.